I'm joined by Andy Lyman for this week's update on New Mexico's political world. He's the man behind cannabis coverage over at NewMexicoPoliticalReport.com and the co-host of Growing Forward, a podcast that explores the cannabis industry in New Mexico. Thanks for joining me today, Andy.
It's always a pleasure. Nice to talk to you again, Bryce.
And yeah, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. You're on vacation all the way in Washington, so I appreciate it, and our listeners appreciate it. Let's start off by talking about House Majority Leader Representative Cheryl Williams Stapleton, who just this last week resigned from her position amid a pretty damning criminal investigation that alleged racketeering, money laundering, illegal kickbacks, among other violations. She was involved with Albuquerque Public Schools, seemed to be more towards her involvement with her work rather than being a legislator. There's a lot to unpack here, Andy. I'd like to firstly ask you about the significance of this for someone who might not be aware. And yeah, this sort of begs on the age-old dilemma of New Mexico's citizen-led, mostly unpaid legislature, right?
Yeah. So first off, obviously, I think this has been said numerous times, but these are all allegations and she hasn't been convicted of anything yet. I think also of note, and not to take away from any of the allegations, but I think we have yet to see whether this was, a lawmaker using her influence for something. This, from my perspective, it seems like it's all tied to her position at APS, like you had mentioned. Essentially, somehow, maybe, I think the allegation is that she was setting up contracts for APS, and the vendor that was sort of getting paid by APS turned around and made payments to some of her businesses. So yeah, I mean, I think it does lead to this question of should they be paid? Of course, that's all speculation of whether paying her would have eliminated some of these things, right? That's yet to be seen. We won't know if and when we pay lawmakers, right? I guess my point is that somebody could be doing this and still making a salary from being a legislator. But this is just one of many instances that we've seen where lawmakers sort of figure out how to make some extra money on the side. I guess I should also specify again, I want to be clear that she is not found guilty. These are all just charges and indictments. And so we'll have to wait to see how this all plays out in court. Although I haven't seen a whole lot from her defense, any sort of explanation of how this came out, but the perception of it at least is bad enough for her to resign and for the governor to sort of call for her to resign and Republicans to call for her to resign. So it doesn't always mean it's guilty or she's guilty, that there's guilt there, but there's some damage control there for the Democrats too, for sure, to sort of steer the attention away from the actual lawmakers and the legislature itself.
And just for some speculation here, we've been talking about the infamous corruption that goes on within our state legislature. It's no question, but do you think even paying lawmakers would fix this problem?
I mean, I think it's an argument for paying lawmakers. I think that there's probably better arguments for paying lawmakers. One being that you get more of a well-rounded sort of group of lawmakers, meaning that right now there's very few people that can actually afford to be not working, not getting paid for 2 months out of the year, in addition to traveling around the state for interim meetings. That's definitely an argument that I've heard for a number of years for paying them, is that maybe they wouldn't be so reliant on lobbyist money or sort of be tempted to kickbacks here or there. But I don't think anybody can say for sure that this thing would stop if they were paid. So I've seen the hot takes since she resigned that this is a reason to pay lawmakers.
The Democrats will now have to find a replacement for Stapleton's constituents and a majority leader to for there. Any ideas who might be running, or if you don't, what's the process that they'll use to pick a new majority leader?
Yeah, so it's pretty much like any other election that we all as citizens know, except at smaller scale and sort of closed off to the public. The House Democrats will sort of caucus and come together, and I'm sure that there's some folks behind the scenes that are sort of lobbying themselves for the position. Obviously, there's way more people in the House than the Senate, just in general. So you kind of have more people to pick from. And of course, the Democrats have a majority in the House right now. There's a lot of different people that are probably more than qualified to do it. I think it comes down to strategy from the Democrats. And I should also mention that I believe that this can be changed too. So what I mean by that is if somebody gets appointed now, maybe they might serve out a session. And I think that they can come back, you know, in a year or two before 2022 is when former Representative William Stapleton, her term would have been up. So they have some time to sort of play around with who's going to be in that position. But then also, I mean, another thing too, is that the Bernalillo County Commission is going to have to find a replacement for her in general. That doesn't mean that that person will now take over the leadership position. It's really hard to say. It could be that they're going to find somebody to just sort of be in that leadership position for the next session. And then by the end of 2022, we'll have a better idea of who's reelected in the House and who's not. It's just sort of a waiting game, I think.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We don't know what's going to be happening in the future. Stapleton could likely be facing decades in prison. But again, these are allegations and she has not been convicted yet. And for right now, this seems like it has nothing to do with her responsibilities as a legislator for New Mexico. But moving on, this past week, the New Mexico Regulation and Licensing Department had a hearing to discuss ambiguities with the most recent liquor law overhaul. What happened? Are deliveries of alcohol going to start anytime soon?
Everything's going really smoothly, especially when you compare it to the same department is overseeing cannabis sales and regulation. I think that obviously the big difference is alcohol is an established department or division. Nothing super controversial. I mean, nothing controversial at all. And I think they're just sort of really just moving towards finalizing those rules. Not a lot of public comment during that hearing. Some sort of clarifications from some industry folks. When it comes to ages of employees or servers or delivery drivers, I don't know exactly when they'll start, but I would guess, you know, well before Thanksgiving or Christmas time or the fall holidays, we'll see some actual delivery in practice.
Awesome. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Andy, for taking the time to talk with us today. Even when you're on vacation in Washington, thank you so much.
Not a problem. It's always a pleasure.